Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wow. I mean, we just talked to Ben Broussard. Well, I like, he started that story started. I just basically was just going to say to him, you know, because he was talking about teaching, and Eddie Murray was his, was the Indians hitting coach for the almost the entire time he was here. And I always thought it was hard sometimes with Eddie and some of the players because Eddie was such a great hitter. And I think we all kind of know that sometimes when you see players that were great, it's hard sometimes to be able to translate the way they played into somebody else. And a lot of times, and I don't think Eddie was this guy, but a lot of times you see frustration if they can't get on the same communication level because the level of expectation is so much different. And for the guys who are the great, the Hall of Famers, a lot of times just things come naturally to them. And when they're working with younger players, it's just not there yet. Especially when you're trying to go from college or high school to the pros or the minors, things get a lot different when you get to the show. It does. And it has really, a lot of times it has nothing to do with baseball. It's the simple things. It's the how you dress, how you get from point A to point B, when you do this, when you don't do that, because there's just this, it's a cultural thing. And so when he said that Eddie told him to start talking to guys at first base about maybe getting better, because Eddie, I couldn't believe it. Eddie said to him, you have the opportunity of a lifetime because you play the best position to learn the most about the game by standing at first base when guys end up standing there. And then for him to come back and say, well, you know.
And if they're on base, they're happy because they got on base.
That's a great point, too. So he just started talking to Manny after Manny had left Cleveland. And if you think about it, kind of maybe created some kind of an opening for him to become a big league player with the Indians that, you know, he just said to him, hey, and then Manny said to him, well, just meet me in the cage tomorrow when he was playing for the Red Sox. And I'm like, what?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And part of that, as he's telling the story, I'm thinking to myself, maybe that's Manny's way of trying to pay it forward after coming up through the system here. And maybe somebody else told him the same thing. And so then they started talking. But then when he came back and said, Giambi did the same thing for him. David Ortiz did the same thing for him. Like, what? Are you serious? And so, and it, for him, it just started as, you know, just a simple question. Like, how do you make the game slow down? It's fast, man. Stand there once. If you ever can, if you ever can go to a batting cage and they can crank it up. And not that most batting cages can hit 100. Because that, I mean, I'm sure the insurance would be through the roof for those places. But you know, I remember Spire had one. I think I've told the story before, but Spire had a machine that could throw over 100. And I just remember sitting there and just standing in the box. I didn't have a bat in my hand. I just wanted to know what it was like to stand in the batter's box.
Did you see it?
No, you don't see it at all. I just remember the arm flinging back on the machine, and all of a sudden the ball was, I was watching, and then I was like, oh my God, this thing could kill me.
There are a couple things that every baseball fan needs to do, and one of them is, whether it's a major league game or a minor league game, get as close as you possibly can to home plate for a game and just sit there. Like, sit in the first row behind home plate or the first row behind first base and just watch how fast the ball moves. The second thing they should do is go to the Louisville Slugger Museum at some point.
Yeah.
And the reason is they have that set up where it's a batting cage and you face Cole Hamels and he throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball and you stand right there at the cage and watch how fast 95 comes at you.
Right?
It's one of those holy blank moments as a baseball fan.
I cannot imagine standing in the box against Class A. He hit 101, didn't he? I watched him at 101.
I can't imagine that either.
And you just sit there and you just...
The minute
TV does not do it justice. It's not real on TV. It just isn't.
And the minute the ball comes at you, and then you know it's going to move, but you see it coming at you, I can't even imagine. You know what I mean?
You blink and it's past you.
Yeah.
I mean, in a blink.
And I don't mean at you like, you know, like here comes the pitch. I mean, it's coming at you.
Yeah.
Before it cuts, before it moves. I would just think, oh my God.
And that's even before
it's over.
The conversation we had yesterday with Slade Ciccone about tunneling pitches. Now imagine 95 miles an hour coming at you and then a slider coming from the same arm angle on the same plane. And all of a sudden that thing just breaks down and you're like, well, now I'm done. Now I'm going to be sitting down.
I wondered what he did after he hit that home run. Remember, Tommy told, like, I thought that was great too, that he, you know, he talked about that first home run. Jim,
look fastball.
Look fastball. And then
look for the fastball.
And boom. I don't know. I wonder if he, like, did he wave his arm up in the air or something while he was running around the bases?
When you Pedro, can be sure he didn't.
I don't think. I want to go back and now watch his first home run if I can go find it. But it's just like, wow. I just thought that was really like the inside stuff on that. And then it kind of takes me back to yesterday's game where, you know, Vlad Guerrero gets hit twice in the series. There's no way, well, in game two, the Guardians were in a position to want to throw at him. But Vlad likes to crowd the plate a little bit. And then, you know, he gets hit again yesterday and has a tantrum. He got hit. I think he got hit on his elbow pad.
Forearm. Yeah,
it would look like it kind of hit his elbow pad. And then I was like, all right, I get it. And so then they knew that Jose Ramirez was probably going to get hit. And he did. And then you got people yelling and screaming. And, you know, I watched the Blue Jays postgame show, and they were saying, this is the right way to do it. And then the color analyst on their show was crushing Stephen Vogt over the fact that he came out and he pointed to his hip or his thigh or his behind to say that's where he should have thrown it. And the guy was like, Vogt has no right to argue where their best player is going to get hit. Ours didn't have a choice. And I'm like, first of all, you're in Toronto, and I'm watching a guy wear an elbow pad that like parents would be embarrassed to put on a squirt or a peewee in where hockey rules, because they'd be like, oh, well, we've got to protect our kids. We got to put this. I mean, the elbow guard he wears is very big. And it's like, I go back to the first time he got plunked, because the Guardians weren't really in a position to want to hit him at that point.
One thing, though, if you look at the replay where Jose was hit.
Yeah.
And Stephen Vogt said, you know, you should hit him in the hip or
at
whatever.
At least that's what it looked like he said, right?
No, he said it in the postgame.
Oh, he said it postgame too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That pitch looked to me like it was going right above Jose's hip. And Jose moved his arm in front of the pitch.
Oh,
in reaction to try and get out of the way. At least it looked that way to me. I looked at it four or five times.
Does it go back to the unwritten rules? 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.